You are listening to the Living Greater Podcast, and I am your host, Arn Allamond. Together, we are building a community of people helping others to live greater through fitness, nutrition, and health. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. It's Arn Allamond, and I'm just sitting out here right now. Just got finished with workout, and I want to chat for a little bit tonight about this idea and concept of mixed modal training. And then I'm also going to talk a little bit tonight about the idea of scaling versus RX. Bum, bum, bum. Big controversial topic right there, right? Especially to all of us dudes and all of you incredible women, competitive people, right? So we're going to dive into both of those for a couple of minutes. Want to take a second before we get going and just ask you to please, if you are getting any value from the podcast, please feel free to leave a review for us. It means an absolute ton. You know, it helps with ratings and how shows are shared on the various platforms, especially on Apple Podcasts. So, when you're done listening, whatever platform you're listening on, if you would jump in there, as always, of course, 5-star ratings are incredible, but I understand you got to go with what's in your heart, and I hope you do that. Also, if you haven't yet, please jump onto Facebook and search us up at Living Greater Coaching. On that page, you're going to find a little bit more focus on workouts, exercise insights, tips and tricks. We've got a great community that is growing by the minute, folks, and just super excited for what that's going to bring down the road as people get on and we're able to start posting just results and victories that you're achieving in your life as you're moving closer to some of these things and goals and dreams that you've had in the fitness space. And you know, I don't want to discount the goals and dreams that we have just personally as well. I'll touch back on the idea that Buddy asked me a little while back to talk a little bit about parenting. And man, I was chatting with him again the other day. So I think it's the third podcast that I have shared this. But brother, some things are hard, right? And man, that is a level of vulnerability that I don't know that I possess yet. And at the same time, I'm sitting there shaking my head thinking, how in the world could anything that I have to say about being a parent some days be of benefit to anybody? But, you know, at the end of the day, I love my boys and I know that they love me. And I'm just honestly trying to raise them to be strong young men, to be respectful of others, their peers, be respectful of women, their friends. And those are some of the areas that we butt heads on sometimes as they're growing and starting to learn the boundaries. So, anyway, I'm sure that is coming down the road, but so please be patient, okay? All right, well, let's jump right in. Let's hit the idea of prescribed versus scaled first. I, as a CrossFit coach, as a competitor, et cetera, I've seen the idea of scale versus RX workouts from both sides. And as an individual, when I first began doing CrossFit style workouts, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm a competitive guy. So, you know, I started out, I wouldn't even let my friends start the clock. You know, Terry was first coach that helped get me going into CrossFit and coached me through my first year and a half. And I remember our very first workout, and he's like, okay, I'm going to start the clock. I'm like, don't start the clock. He's like, no, I'm starting the clock. I'm like, nope, don't start the clock. My reason for not wanting to start the clock just stemmed from my cycling background and a point that I hit when I was riding where I took everything electronic, every metric off my bike and just said, I'm going to go and I'm going to find what it means to love the sport again, what it means to just appreciate and enjoy being in the moment of an activity that I have loved from the day and the time that I was a baby, you know, like a little boy, like 2, 3, 4 years old, whatever that was when I first got pushed down that hill. if you haven't heard it, that's a great story. But But it's true. And what I found by doing that, by removing those barriers that I was sucked into, all of a sudden it did become fun. I found the joy. It was just incredible. And my performance actually improved and increased as a result of it. And so when I went into that first CrossFit workout, I was like, nope, no timer. Done. And he's like, nope, you're timing it. And, you know, I understand why now. And the reason behind it is that we want to be able to measure gain and progress over time. And it's so, so very important. But we also have to approach it with a healthy perspective. And it has to be tempered with that perspective of you can't PR every workout. You can't go as hard as possible every workout. If you do, something is going to break. It may not be your body. It may be you. It may be your psyche, right? We can only take so much. We've got to keep it fun. We've got to keep it light. The best in the world go through the exact same process. And I'm going to read up on it again at some point on Roger Bannister, but my dad told me a story when I was a kid that has stuck with me ever since. And so I'm sure that'll come back around, but it had to do with his breaking of the 4-minute mile. So getting back and tying that into the idea of RX versus scaled, there is nothing wrong with scaling a workout. But again, going back to when I started, all I could think about was I can't wait till I RX the workout. And I went through a few workouts where I RX'd at all costs. Like the time cap was, you know, 8 minutes and I'm not even halfway through, right? Or I remember the first time that I did Grace and I wanted to do it RX. And I think that I don't remember the time cap was maybe 6 minutes. And I think I was stubborn and I said, no, I'm going to keep going. And I think I finished it like 10 or 11, you know, and I've improved since then. And sometimes you've got to feel that failure. Sometimes you've got to push to that point. But the point is that when you're doing a workout, there is a purpose placed, or there should be a purpose placed on that workout. It's not finish at all costs. There is a time component to it. There is a load component to it. And those two things tie into this thing that we call intensity. And so, you know, we want to be able to work out at a certain intensity. And there's a time to work out heavy and slow. There's a time to work out light and fast. And there's a time to meet the two in the middle. And so that's why with scaling and RX, I understand, especially when you get started, how important that RX is. And I think we should strive for that. And when you get an opportunity to RX a workout or, And if you don't know, RX just means doing it as prescribed. Like if everybody's doing the same workout and there's a weight that's prescribed, then that would be the RX workout. The scaled version is that you scale back perhaps on the weight, or maybe you scale back on number of reps, or maybe even the total time that you're working. And that's where I'm settling into now. So after I've kind of made this big push, you know, I'm finding that, yeah, I still, you know, scale or RX workouts and work out at prescribed amounts, so to speak, and I'm working on improving my time or my number of repetitions completed at those loads. But I'm also finding a lot of satisfaction on days that I don't quite feel up to snuff, or maybe I'm a little tired, or maybe I just don't feel like being under that weight, that I'm scaling it back and I'm modifying my workouts. And what I find from that is I'm still getting a great workout. And in some ways, my body is probably responding in a more optimal way that's going to help me, again, move the needle, push the dial so that I'm improving performance over time. So keep that in mind. And by the same token, if you're a coach out there, please don't undermine the importance of the RX or the prescribed workout to your athletes. That's something that I've seen firsthand. When an athlete has an opportunity to do a workout as prescribed, you know, sometimes they may not meet it exactly where they may not meet the time cap, or they may not meet, let's put it this way, they're pushing really hard to finish that workout and do that workout at RX because they know how so close they are, and they know how important, or it is so important to them to be able to check that box. And as long as they're in a safe place, and as long as they're you know, working within the parameters that you've defined as a coach, man, let them go, let them do it, encourage them to do it. Those are victories, and those are victories that are going to stick in their minds and help them push to that next time, that next time, that next time, as they keep pushing their bubble and their needle. And all of that ties into this idea also, the second component that I wanted to talk today, which is mixed modal workouts or mixed modality. huge proponent of that. And again, some of that stems from my background for a while. I've always been kind of an all or none guy. So I get really excited about something and I dive in. And when I was in college, it was playing volleyball and playing beach volleyball. And one of the things I loved about that, I mean, it's such an athletic sport that it really did give itself to this idea for me to be able to develop a wide range of exercise components in my routine. So I would do different kinds of plyometric and bounding exercises. I would definitely strength train. I would do some swimming. I would do some running. I would do some mountain biking. I would do all of these things to try and build myself to be faster, to be stronger, to have better stamina and endurance, and to be able to play under tough conditions. You know, when you're playing outside and it's 100 degrees and you've been out there for 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, and you know, you're in the final match, and you know, you're just wanting to get through. Like, how do you fight through that? How do you train for that? When I got into cycling, that was a little bit more just uni componental, monostructural, if you will, or something. I mean, I was doing one thing, right, and that was cycling. And I did try to incorporate some core work. I had pull-up bar at the house, and so I would incorporate pull-ups and stuff. But I didn't have a gym set up at home. I was sinking a lot of time in on the bike and just didn't really feel like I could spread that out evenly amongst a lot of things. I was valuing the time on the bicycle over anything else. And what I found is that in that, 5, 6, 7 year time span, for me personally, I really did lose some components of being an athlete. And I've talked about that some in different capacities over the last few weeks. But, one of the things that I feel like I lost was agility. I was really good going forward in a straight line and all of my joints and everything moving in that cyclical fashion. But when it came to lateral movement off the bike, I wasn't as good. And knowing that now, I know that I also wasn't as good on the bike, because there's lateral movement on the bicycle, especially a mountain bike, you know, where you're airborne at times, or you're bunny hopping over things, and you're inflecting body language on the bike to try and get it to do what you want it to do. Those things are so important. So agility is huge. The strength component, a lot of times I think endurance athletes are afraid of mass, and I definitely fell into that. I mean, I'm comfortably right now 160, 165. When I was cycling, I was working prior to the season to have my body weight below 140 pounds. And, at my peak of my season, when I felt like it was my most optimal time, I was shooting to be in the upper 130s. It's a difference of 25 pounds, guys. I mean, that's absolutely incredible when I think back to it. But there's a balance point, especially for your body type, of how much weight you should be carrying. And, maybe you want to wear the polka dot jersey in your local, spring series races and stuff like that. But maybe that's just not, maybe that's not what your body type is most destined for, and you might be limiting your performance in other areas of that sport by trying to be something that you're perfecting. I honestly believe that for a lot of us, especially in masters level events that we're competing in, if we were to push ourselves into the arena that our body is adapted to, in terms of, just the, we call it anthropometrics, but the body measurements that we have and the body type that we have, and we kind of embrace that a little bit and try and work within those strengths that we have to make them stronger, I really believe we're going to be more successful. So the mixed modality workout plan basically just looks like incorporating different aspects of fitness. So, if you're an endurance athlete and you're great at running and you're great at riding, we've got to find a way to incorporate strength training into that in some way. And along with the strength training, we need to find some way to incorporate agility movement. So if most of your stuff is moving forward in a straight line, let's incorporate something that's going to get you moving laterally as well. Maybe as a component of your warm-up, just to help keep that idea and those thoughts going, get your body woken up to those movements again. Or maybe it's actually a dedicated day each week or 2 days where that is the workout, and you're doing a variety variety of movements and strength components, and definitely working on the midline and the core outside of things like crunches. I mean, like full body midline exercises, like knees to chest from the floor. You know, hollow rocks. I like to do these things where you're rolling from a hollow position to an arch position on the floor. Anything hanging from the bar where you're learning to move in space. If you're moving back and forth, we call it an arch to hollow sometimes. You've got to have incredible shoulder stability to be able to perform that. And shoulder stability, I mean, let's think about, you know, what connects us to the bike? What keeps us moving when we're running? The shoulders play a huge role on that, and shoulder strength and stamina can definitely improve our performance in those areas. So, that's my take today. Just, again, a little short quip. It's a lot of stuff running in there. I apologize if it ran together really fast. Like I said, I just got done with the workout. I am a little low on calories, and so I'm kind of in that euphoric, happy place. I definitely need a burger right about now. So waiting on the kids to get home, and we're going to eat it up. So, RX'd versus scaled, you know, do what fits within the parameters of the workout and do what's right for you. If you're not measuring your performances, it's a lesson that I learned from my good friend Terry, but if you're not measuring your performances, you have no idea of where you're going or how you're growing, and you're throwing rocks in the water. And while it's really entertaining to watch those rings kind of splash out and see how far you can throw them, the true growth is going to come when you perform. And then you mark it down and you measure it. And if you've got something that can help you follow and chart and track that, if you've got a system, that's where you can really start to put things together and make incredible improvements. Okay, so RX versus scaled, that goes along with that. You know, RX at all costs is not the answer. Find the love, move, incorporate the things that you enjoy. But then going back to the mixed modality aspect, let's train to be an overall athlete. Let's look at all of the aspects of that athletic being and see what do we need to incorporate to turn the dial, bring some of your areas that maybe aren't as strong up to your areas that are incredibly strong, and just watch yourself grow and thrive when you do that, guys. Hey, thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. We've got, I'll leave it at that and leave it as a surprise. Great things ahead, guys. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Please be sure, again, if you haven't already, just whatever platform you're listening to, we'd be so honored if you would leave us a review. And also, hey, if you've got any questions, email those to me at livinggreaterhealth@gmail.com. I would absolutely love to accumulate those and start to throw in a segment every week, probably on a Friday, where I can sit down and take a look at the questions that you've got and give you my insights. And if there's some stuff out there that is not my wheelhouse, it gives me an opportunity to go find someone that can give you some good feedback and get you the answers you need. So believe in you guys. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Living Greater Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed the content, and we ask that you please share with your friends and help us spread the word of Living Greater. Have a wonderful day.